أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الحمد لله today you have gathered here for your national Waqfat and Ojtama. With the grace of Allah, nearly 40 years have passed since the Waqf and Oj scheme was launched, and many of you are now in your 20s or 30s and have become mothers to a new generation of Waqf and Oj. As such, an even greater responsibility now rests on your shoulders. As Waqf-e-Nau, you must not only ensure that you are personally living up to your pledge and acting according to Islam's teachings, but you must also ensure the moral and religious upbringing of your children. Whilst this is the duty of both parents, a mother invariably spends more time with her children, and so the responsibility lies even heavier upon her. Therefore, whether you are already mothers or inshallah will become mothers in the future, remember that as Waqf-e-Nau or Waqf-e-Nau, you must continually strive to elevate your own spiritual and moral standards while also nurturing and guiding your children so that they may become pious, excellent and beneficial members of society. In this way, you will play your part in safeguarding the future prosperity of our Jamaat by ensuring that coming generations remain firmly attached to their faith. Certainly, if Ahmadi parents do not collectively instill a deep sense of morality and faith within their children, our progress will falter. Indeed, history proves that those communities that cease to advance are destined for decline. A great favor of Allah upon those of you who have grown up here is that you have benefited from the educational system here. As a result, many of you have been educated to a higher level than your mothers or grandmothers. This blessing carries with it a profound responsibility that you must harness your knowledge and the opportunities you have received to enlighten and guide your children. you must empower them to navigate the complex challenges they face in this society, whilst remaining firmly anchored to Islamic principles. It must never be that, due to the lack of moral training or guidance, our future generations deviate from the beautiful and timeless teachings of Islam. Sadly, many mothers write to me expressing their heartbreak that as their children pass through adolescence, they begin to drift away from their faith and fail to maintain a close bond with the Jamaat. So, keeping your children attached to their faith is your primary responsibility. For this, you must ensure that your own bond with Allah the Almighty is unshakable. Offer namaz and other prayers with devotion and sincerity, and immerse yourselves in the timeless wisdom of the Holy Quran. If your conduct is a living testament to your love for Allah and your conviction in the truth of Islam, your children will naturally learn from your example. Unfortunately, it is often observed, especially amongst those Ahmadi families who have migrated to Western countries, that they become consumed by a focus on their individual rights. Even some Waqfin and all prioritize personal entitlement and what they believe they deserve over the sacred demands of their pledge. Rather than fulfilling the bond they have made with Allah, the Almighty, they are more concerned about attaining their worldly rights. Such frustrations often surface after marriage when domestic challenges arise. While genuine hardships or injustices must be addressed, as Waqfa know, you must never allow personal trials or desires to eclipse your commitment to your faith. Your priority should always be to cultivate a deep and personal bond with Allah, the Almighty, and to instill an everlasting love for Him within the hearts of your children. Further, you must help your children acquire religious knowledge. Indeed, most of you who have reached an age of maturity, whether mothers, young adults, teenagers, or older children, should realize that attaining religious knowledge is fundamental to safeguarding your faith and that of your future generations. Additionally, such knowledge shall empower you to enlighten the wider world of Islam's true teachings. Do not imagine that tabligh is a duty reserved only for men. Rather, Ahmadi women have an indispensable and crucial role to play. Islamic history testifies to the fact that from the very beginning, Muslim women made monumental sacrifices for their faith. In this regard, The example of Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha is often presented, as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that half of the faith could be learned from her. Consequently, many companions, including men, sat as her student to learn about Islam. Thus, for the sake of spreading Islam's teachings and to dispel misconceptions, sometimes MD women are required to take part in public events and speak before men. For example, when required, certain MD ladies have taken part in media programs and interviews. Therefore, as Waqfat, you must relentlessly strive to increase your religious knowledge so that, armed with truth, you can refute the baseless allegations made against Islam, especially the malicious claim that it denies women their due rights. With firm conviction, you shall be the ones who attest to the fact that Islam establishes true equality and granted women their rights many centuries before the modern world even recognized them to a limited degree. You shall be the ones who proudly stand at the vanguard defending Islam and illuminating mankind of its noble teachings. Certainly, I have observed how Ahmadi women here in the UK, Germany, and other countries have been able to present Islam's true message in a media setting with exceptional proficiency. The power of their words, their eloquence and dignity have shone so brightly that the critics of Islam, who falsely claim it oppresses women, are left silenced and frustrated. Hence, whilst observing parda, MD women can engage with the media in order to present Islam's true teachings and to refute the false allegations leveled against it. This is not something new, nor does it contravene Islam's teachings in any way. Rather, during his Khilafat, Hazrat Muslim Aud radhiyallahu anhu affirmed that it was not wrong for an Ahmadi woman to present or speak before men or in a public setting in order to defend Islam. He also invoked the example of Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha and how she educated men about their faith and Islam's true teachings. Indeed, Hazrat Aisha's intellect was such that she possessed a superior understanding of many of the intricacies and subtle points of the teachings of Islam, far surpassing the knowledge of many men of the time. She was able to clarify many Islamic teachings and beliefs. Thus, she serves as a great role model for all of you. While every Ahmadi pledges to prioritize faith over worldly matters and to practice and preach Islam's true teachings, you have all made a solemn, lifelong vow to utilize all your faculties to serve the blessed mission of the Prophet Messiah al-Islam. The commitment must forever remain as the supreme priority and objective of your lives. As I have said, the opponents of Islam continually allege that Islam denies women's equality. They claim to be the defenders of women's rights and that they wish to liberate women or grant them freedom. However, they are not sincere and their actions reveal the truth. In recent times, the whole world has seen how, under the guise of freedom, certain Western powers have waged wars in which countless defenseless women and girls have been killed or had their homes utterly decimated. Their schools, university, and other centers of learning have been razed to the ground. Is that what the opponents of Islam mean by delivering rights to women and girls? Indeed, it was because women in these Western countries were not afforded their due rights that over the past century they were forced to take matters into their own hands. Thus, women's rights movements arose throughout the Western world as women desperately sought to secure the basic rights long denied to them. As the religious texts had not defined or stipulated the rights of women, they were compelled to fight for the very freedom and equality that Islam had bestowed upon women over 1400 years ago. From the outset, Islam unequivocally enshrined the principle of equality. Principle of equality between men and women. Thus, no Ahmadi girl or woman should ever harbor any complex or doubt. Embrace your identity as a Muslim woman or girl with pride and recognize your immense God-given value. Certainly, in His divine wisdom, Allah the Almighty has assigned certain specific duties and roles for men and for women according to human nature. Yet, He has ensured that the rights of men and women remain equal and fair. Thus, in Islamic teachings, gender confers no superiority. Rather, true distinction is born only out of the nobility of one's character and the righteousness of their conduct. In terms of equality, Islam goes into quite astonishing detail. For example, the Holy Quran teaches that weaning a child is a mutual decision between husband and wife. It is not permitted for a husband or his family to dictate or order his wife in this regard. Similarly, as means of security and in order to preserve the dignity and honor of women, Islam has stipulated the haqmeh as woman's fundamental right that must be agreed upon prior to marriage. Likewise, the allegation that Islam seeks to confine women to the home is utterly false. There are many professions that Allah the Almighty permits Muslim women to pursue, provided they continue to observe parda. Thus, as Waqf-e Nau, it is now your mission to enlighten mankind about these beautiful teachings of Islam and correct those who either in ignorance or out of malice misrepresent it. To do this, you must immerse yourselves in the study of the Holy Quran. Recite it every day and carefully study its translation and commentaries. Merely attending the National Ijtima for a few hours today will not achieve anything on its own. Rather, your attendance will only be of value if it ignites within you a passionate desire and commitment to increase your religious knowledge and to embody Islam's teachings at all times. The majority of you are now above the age of 15 and so have the intellectual capacity to understand Islam's teachings and to respond to teaching and to respond to allegations made against it. In this regard, I reiterate that the best way to learn about Islam is to study the Holy Quran. If you do so, you will come to comprehend your religious, moral, spiritual, civic, and social responsibilities. You will learn how best to raise your children and your obligations as mother, daughter, sister, or friend. Many Ahmadi girls have attained bachelor's and master's degrees, and some have attained PhD or other very advanced qualifications. There are many Ahmadi women, including from amongst the Waqfat-e Nau, who are working professionally as doctors, teachers, lawyers, engineers, and in other various professions. It is very pleasing to see that a high proportion of Ahmadi girls choose to pursue higher education and worthwhile professions. However, if having attained a high level of education or having entered such professions, you become so immersed in your studies or career that it takes you away from the practice of your faith, then there is no benefit to your being part of the Waqf-e Nau scheme. Rather, being a Waqf-e Nau will just be a hollow and meaningless title. So alongside your work or studies, you must set aside time every day to increase your religious knowledge. Only then will you be a Waqf-e Nau in spirit and deed. Only then will you be truly aware of the teachings of your faith and be able to practice it and instill it within your children and guide others. In terms of your family life and responsibilities, you should always act with patience and prayers. Unfortunately, domestic trials or problems sometimes arise within families. For example, if a husband fails to fulfill his duties or his conduct is not as it ought to be, wherever possible, whilst giving precedence to their faith over worldly matters, wives and mothers should strive to resolve such issues amicably, whilst exhibiting patience and trust in Allah. always seek to protect your family unit, especially your children, and ensure nothing stands in the way of their moral training and well-being. If your husband fails to fulfill his personal duties, parental duties, you should seek to bridge that gap by striving even harder to guide and care for them. Similarly, every Ahmadi woman, particularly the Waqfa now, should always exhibit sincere humility. Whether you have the opportunity to do any duty or good deed, you should never be motivated by a desire to impress others or to gain their praise. Instead, all your efforts should be governed by a pure desire to seek only the love and nearness of Allah, the Almighty. For example, if you are given a responsibility within the Jamaat or called for duty at Jalsas or Ijtimaas, you should seek to fulfill such duties solely for the sake of Allah and attaining His prayer, rather than seeking any worldly acclaims or rewards. Remember that at the heart of your waqf lies the spirit of sacrifice. Sometimes women say that because of their family responsibilities or work commitments, they do not have the time to focus on the worship of Allah or to fulfill their religious obligations. However, fulfilling the demands of worship is of paramount importance. And so you must be willing to sacrifice other things in order to fulfill the rights of Allah. Beyond your obligatory prayers, you should offer daily nawafil and pray for yourself and for your future generations. By doing so, you will, inshallah, bequeath a legacy of piety and the highest morals and faith amongst your children and future generations. As I stated before, the Holy Quran requires Muslim women to observe parda, and as waqfa and all, you should have the highest standards in this regard. If you set a positive example, you will be a source of confidence for others and a means of guiding them about the value of modesty. Never forget that you have been born with a great grand purpose to lead the world back to its creator. If ignorant people allege that you are imprisoned by your faith, prove them wrong and show them just how powerful and strong you are. Confidently tell them that we are truly liberated and free from the shackles of materialism, injustice, and vulgarity that imprison modern society. So, if you are truly determined to fulfill your religious objectives, you as Waqfa now are destined to lead the world, inshallah. Never underestimate yourselves. Rather, make every possible effort to ignite a spiritual and moral revolution that transforms the world into a heaven of peace, love, and prosperity. This is the jihad of our time. Therefore, I reiterate that you should always remember that your education and knowledge shall hold no real value unless it is harnessed in a way that enables you to serve humanity and your faith. Otherwise, your academic success or attainment will be indistinguishable from that of others. Conversely, if you truly seek to serve your faith and humanity, you will, inshallah, achieve great success and be immensely rewarded by Allah. To be truly successful and to leave a positive legacy in this world, you must have a true passion for serving your faith and ensuring that you and your children are living according to Islamic teachings. History proves that women have always been at the forefront of making sacrifices for their religious beliefs. For example, in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Bible, it mentions that it was the female disciples of Prophet Jesus, alayhis-salam, who ventured to his tomb 3 days after the crucifixion. While the male disciples remained in hiding, paralyzed by fear, these courageous women took great risks for the sake of their faith. Then, upon seeing that the tomb was empty, they were astonished to find that Jesus, alayhis salam, was alive outside and jubilantly received his greetings. These devoted women, who were the followers of the Messiah of Moses, alayhis salam, were willing to make great sacrifices for the sake of their faith. If they were able to do so, then is it not necessary for all of you who are the followers of the Messiah of Muhammad and who have pledged to dedicate your lives to the service of Islam to make even greater sacrifices for the sake of your faith? Certainly, throughout Islamic history, countless Muslim women have made incredible sacrifices. They understood their personal responsibilities towards bringing forth the spiritual victory of Islam. I have already mentioned Hazrat Aisha رضي الله عنها, her scholarly services to Islam. Likewise, during certain expeditions and defensive battles during the era of the Holy Prophet and Khilafat Rashida, Muslim women stood fearlessly as pillars of strength. Some Muslim women even fought on the front lines, whilst others nursed the wounded with unwavering compassion and diligence. These noble precedents are not just stories from history for you to read about. Rather, they should serve as profound example to all of you and demonstrate the extremely high status of women in Islam. Now it is your duty to protect this status and to follow in their footsteps by embodying Islam's true teachings and being ready to make every sacrifice required for the sake of your faith. This is the duty of all Ahmadi women and girls, but especially for those who have pledged to serve the cause of Islam until their last breath. Thus, before concluding, I wish to remind you that you must strive tirelessly to spread the message of Islam, to serve humanity, and to nurture and guide the next generation. Above all, honor your pledge by giving precedence to your faith over all worldly matters and seeking to act upon Allah's commands. Although your secular education or other commitments be determined to increase your religious knowledge, by reading the Holy Quran and its commentaries. You must also study the writings of Prophet Musa al-Islam, the Khulafa, and other Jamaat literature, as religious knowledge is a catalyst for self-reformation and also means to guide your children. Finally, to the younger girls present, including the Nasrat, I wish to say that you should also seek to excel in your studies. Moreover, even at your young age, you should be strong in your faith. Never allow the opinions of others to influence your beliefs or make you feel embarrassed about your religion. If you are ever teased or mocked for wearing modest clothing, do not let it shake your confidence. Tell such people that they can mock you all they like, but they will not weaken your beliefs or religious practice. Tell them you have a higher purpose, which is to stand against the world's moral decline and to eradicate the gap that exists between much of the world and God Almighty. Instead of pulling you away from your faith, their taunts should inspire you to improve your morals and to gain more religious knowledge. Be confident in yourselves and who you are. Always remember that true peace and contentment lie in the nearness of Allah the Almighty. And to attain this, you must fulfill His rights and those of humanity. If you act with such piety and goodness, you will become true beacons of light, illuminating the path towards success and salvation, inshallah. With these words, I pray that may Allah the Almighty bless all and enable you to live up to the pledge you have made to your faith throughout your lives. May all of you, whose noble and righteous qualities serve to reveal the truth and beauty of Islam for all the world to see. Ameen. Now, join me in the silent prayer. Ameen.